This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, April 21, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Signs of child abuse are not always obvious. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and experts at Wedgewood Christian Services in Grand Rapids want you to know what to look for and what to do if you see it. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
634 blue pinwheels flutter in the lawn at Wedgewood Christian Services this month, one for each child helped, and as a reminder that each person has a role to play in preventing child abuse.
My number one rule is if a child reports to you that he or she is being abused, do not question them, just believe them and tell them you believe them.
Brina T. Meyer, Director of Clinical Services, details how different forms of child abuse manifest, emphasizing that physical signs are most recognizable, but behavioral shifts are often the most telling indicator.
They seem to lack confidence, have really increased anxiety. They may really have extreme reactions to daily life stress, and you're kind of asking yourself, okay, I don't understand why they just blew up. Like, what just happened? And that could be another sign that there is abuse going on.
T. Meyer says protecting children is a collective responsibility, urging anyone who suspects abuse to contact police, even anonymously.
You do not need to confirm. You do not need to be the investigator. If you suspect it is happening, you need to report the abuse. Because reporting the abuse, even if you are unsure, is never wrong.
I'm Dee Morrison.
A popular Muskegon gathering place will undergo revitalization soon. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us how the public can sound off on the future of Heritage Landing.
Muskegon's Heritage Landing serves as a central hub for festivals, concerts, and other community events on the shores of Muskegon Lake. Annual events held at the park include the Michigan Irish Music Festival and the Trinity Health Seaway Run. Muskegon County leaders are inviting the public to an open house to begin its master planning process. Residents can share ideas and provide input that will guide future site improvements. Gathered input will inform improvements related to infrastructure, event functionality, public access, waterfront enhancements, and long-term development. The planning process is being led by Smith Group of Madison, Wisconsin, in partnership with Muskegon County. Muskegon County Administrator Mark Eisenbarth stated, quote, "Community input is critical to ensuring the master plan reflects the needs and aspirations of our residents and partners," end quote. The open house is Wednesday, April 22nd, at the Boys and Girls Club of the Muskegon Lakeshore from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. I'm David Limbaugh.
State police posts are once again participating in National Drug Takeback Day. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
It's an annual program that gets lots of attention each year, and Michigan State Police are again taking part in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day. The day is used to encourage residents to safely dispose of expired and unused prescription pills. All of MSP's 31 posts will be open Saturday, April 25th. The take-back runs from 10 until 2. Colonel James F. Grady II, director of the MSP, says, quote, "By taking a few minutes to clear out expired or unused pills, you are proactively helping to prevent prescription drug misuse and abuse, as well as protect the environment." He adds, "Drug Take-Back Day allows for an accessible, anonymous, secure, and easy way to partner with police to help keep Michigan communities safe," end quote. All collected pills will be destroyed, no questions asked. However, liquids, inhalers, patches, and syringes will not be accepted. Nearly 650 pounds of pills were collected during the last Drug Take-Back Day in October of 2025. To find a collection site near you, just visit michigan.gov/MSP post. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Grand Rapids police are raising concerns about staffing downtown summer events. As WGVU's Dee Morrison tells us, the opening of the Acrisure Amphitheater will strain resources.
As city leaders rolled out plans addressing parking issues Monday, Grand Rapids Police Lieutenant Jeff Dion noted the department can cover events in May, but
moving forward, we're going to have significantly more events in July and August, and our staffing issues could pop up then. I think there's 15 or 16 events at the amphitheater in July. That's going to be a heavy task on our people.
Early estimates for amphitheater events will require 24 officers for traffic control and crowd security.
Some of the intersections might have two officers on the first night, and after a few weeks, we might realize we need one or zero. So we are overstaffing the first night, and we will definitely be able to shrink that down moving forward.
There are concerns about staffing simultaneous downtown events this year. It intensifies in 2027 when the new soccer stadium opens. And how will the city cover the anticipated increase in overtime pay?
Legends Global pays 30 36%. Mobile GR pays 36%. And as it sits right now, the Grand Rapids Police Department and the city have absorbed the remaining 28%. So we're currently in negotiations to redistribute who's paying that 28%.
The funding issue is expected to be addressed in the budget at the City Commission meeting April 28th. I'm Dee Morrison.
For the first time in decades, South Haven has a new chief lifeguard. WGVU's David Limbaugh shares his introduction to the community at Monday night's city council meeting.
I want to thank everyone, colleagues, residents, and supporters alike, for such a warm welcome.
David Figueredo was hired 2 weeks ago as South Haven's chief lifeguard.
Even in a short time, it's clear that this is a community of genuine, caring people who look out for one another. And I've felt that same support as a newcomer.
Figueredo is the first to fill that role since the city's lifeguard program was halted 25 years ago. There have been 12 fatal drownings during that time.
I also deeply respect the passion this community has for water safety. That commitment was a major factor in what drew me to this role, and I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to serve in this capacity.
Lisa McDonald is a resident who lost her daughter Emily and her boyfriend Corey to drowning in 2022. She's been advocating for the reestablishment of the lifeguard program ever since.
We can't change what happened on August 8th, 2022, but we can change what happens moving forward. Establishing this new lifeguard program in South Haven for the upcoming Memorial Day is an amazing step in the right direction.
The program is funded by an increase in beach parking fees from $10 a day to $3 per hour. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, an edited version of one of the new episodes of our Powerful Women Let's Talk podcast, but first, news from around the state. The Michigan Democratic Party endorsed several candidates for statewide office on Sunday night. Colin Jackson has more.
Many races were tight going into the weekend. Candidates tried gimmicks like using musicians or printing basketball cards with campaign info to separate themselves. After hours of voting and vote counting, Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist won his bid for the party's Secretary of State endorsement. Gilchrist was one of many progressive-backed candidates who won. He says the party is united.
I think what we're showing is that we have a lot of power. We had record turnout here in this particular convention, more than we've ever had. That shows that the energy is on our side, and that shows that we are going to be able to organize that energy into a victory in November.
Washtenaw County Prosecutor Ellie Savitt won the party's endorsement for Attorney General. I'm Colin Jackson in Detroit.
Some Democrats are calling for Michigan to switch from party conventions to primary elections to choose candidates for statewide offices such as Attorney General and Secretary of State. That's after a raucous party endorsement convention this past weekend. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Many Democrats are complaining about the Marathon early endorsement convention. Michigan Democratic Party Chair Curtis Hertel says he agrees a primary would be better because it would be open to all voters who choose a Democratic Party ballot. Oakland University political science professor David Duilio says Michigan is a rarity. Most other states use primaries for those down-ballot races. But there is no cure-all for messy nomination fights.
I think there's a temptation to think the grass is always green. And that isn't always the case.
The Michigan Republican chair says there's little interest in the idea on that side of the aisle. Changing to a primary to nominate Secretary of State and Attorney General candidates would require an amendment to the Michigan Constitution. I'm Rick Pluta.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. In an edited version of this episode of Powerful Women Let's Talk, Teresa Anderson talks to Jennifer Moss about running away to join the circus, moving to Grand Rapids, looking to do big things at Art Prize, and more.
From WGVU Public Media, this is Powerful Women Let's Talk. Conversations with women making an impact in West Michigan. Stay connected to Powerful Women. Please like and subscribe.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Moss. Welcome to another special edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. We're happy to celebrate Women's History Month with a stellar lineup of fabulous, powerful women in our community. Today, I'm talking with Teresa Anderson, Director of Production and Operations for Art Prize. Welcome, Teresa.
Hi, thank you for having me.
To start, you have a very important job. Now, a lot of people may not necessarily know about it. It's somewhat behind the scenes, but you are very busy at work taking the Art Prize experience to the next level. For starters, you were behind David. That was that 35-foot-tall marionette that rappelled down the side of the Amway Hotel in 2024. I want you to tell us about your love for everything art, a bit of your background, and how you landed at Art Prize.
So it's a bit of a cyclical story, actually. I have been an artist for as long as I can remember. I went to drama school to do stage management technology and set design and fell into costume design. I worked in theater and film and then joined Cirque du Soleil and ran away with the circus for a little while. I've been on different continents working in art, but I've always come back to the same thing, that creating is the most important thing to me. I probably entered Art Prize even when I didn't live in Grand Rapids a couple of times. I then came to Grand Rapids, fell in love with Grand Rapids, and my husband and I moved here because of Art Prize. And then 10 years later, I started working for Art Prize. So it really was kind of a full journey there.
That is a full circle.
Absolutely.
So you moved here because of Art Prize. So you actually were an artist that entered, because I know you love art. And
yes.
So you entered Art Prize.
Yes.
And let us say you're across the pond. That's where you hail from, right?
I do,
so you
yes.
come from London, right? Or I don't know if it's London specifically, but where?
All over, but the last place I was London,
Okay.
So I was in Las Vegas at the time, having just come off the road touring with Cirque du Soleil. And we had a relative here that said, you should come and check out this art competition. So we did. And because we were used to touring and moving around with work, and we just had a baby, we kind of needed somewhere new to live. And there was fabulous art and beer, so we moved here.
Two good things, right?
Absolutely. One for me and one for my husband.
And there you go. I love it. I love it. And so I just love the idea that it's full circle, that you literally entered and then now you're working there. So let's talk about your work at Art Prize. I want to start with the David piece. How did that come to be? We see a lot of great art each year, of course, but I think that was the first time that we really ever saw something like that of that magnitude. That was huge.
He was quite big, yes.
Yes, coming down the side of the Amway. So tell us about that. And because that, I would imagine, that's one of your powerful impacts here in the city is coming up with something like that, because that took Art Prize, in my opinion, to another level.
Thank you. I really, having spent some time with Art Prize, it was my first year, and the executive director had asked me to come in and use some of my creativity and my contacts and skills to really make an impact. And I really wanted to do it for the community. It was very much that Art Prize is a platform for artists, but I also was very aware that this huge event happens in and around where people live and work. And so I really wanted something that was a spectacle for anyone that could see it from anywhere. They didn't have to pay for it. They could just be a part of it and this huge kind of community experience. So I reached out to a bunch of people, and I am very lucky that I have friends from the circus and Vegas and all of those places. And I sent out some polite questions and asked, what's the biggest thing you have? And through a series of networking, I reached out to a company in Canada. And David had never been done in America. And so I thought, well, Grand Rapids is a great place for us to do that. It took 4 months to get all of the technical drawings, the rigging, the permits and approvals. The Amway was amazing. The team there were fabulous. It was really lovely to get engineers thinking like artists and artists thinking like engineers. We did design it from scratch. And it took 3 days to rig. And the first time we did it was the time it went up. And so a little bit stressful, but...
It was a big risk.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, a big risk,
but it
surely paid off well.
It was fabulous. And the thing I loved so much about it was really rooted in the creativity of performance, because there were no motors attached to that. It was all hand rigged.
That's amazing.
So every foot that moved, every hand that moved was being operated by puppeteers. So the fact that it was so grounded in artistic performance was something that really was just amazing to me.
I mean, and how did you come up? I know you made your calls and you've got the contacts. We'll talk about that part in a minute as well. But like, we want to have something climb on the side of the Amway, and it's going to be big and people are going to love this in Grand Rapids. I mean, how did that like come to thought? Like, how did you go from square one, you know, all the way through to developing that and coming up with something such as David? Why David? I guess if you're looking into the creative piece, what made you pick something such as that?
because it was so visible, because it was grounded in performance, and it was something that really had to be on board with all the members of the community that were participating. We had amazing partners in different construction companies. All sorts of people helped us out. Also, I did just take a walk through the city when I first got here and started working downtown, just walking through the city and trying to see the city in different ways and different lights about how you can use different surfaces, how you can change things so that people's perception of them is something different. And it was a really big, shiny building, and I had a really big, shiny puppet. So I was like, I think these two things should definitely go together. And it really did take a community. I might have the crazy idea, but these things you cannot do alone.
No, you cannot do them alone, but it takes that leadership and that eye to see that, you know what, this is something we should try. And that was a bold move. Good for you.
I'm not used to doing things small, so I tend
to... Well, you called, you said, what's the biggest thing you've got, right?
That was, absolutely.
That was like your what you said.
Yes, so. 100%. I think you get one go at this. You get one go at life, and opportunities are there for a reason. And if we don't try, it worked, and people were excited about it. I had people texting me and calling me that they were inside the restaurant that night, and that this giant face came up at the window. They had no idea. It was like King Kong.
And they're like, what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. I also think the most wonderful thing about, as much as the spectacle of it going up the building was fabulous with the lights and all that, I think the children being able to play with it was probably my favorite part of the whole thing, because that engagement and that creativity that was starting at ground level, and you just could go and see what would happen, and the excitement every day for 14 days was just phenomenal to me. And that was really special. I love working with kids and art anyway, so to have them have that opportunity was fabulous.
As they say, go big or go home, right? I mean, you did that. And so last year, though, equally exciting,
Arborealis.
Arborealis.
That's the one.
Yes,
indeed. I didn't name it, just so you know.
Arborealis. I had said it prior. We talked about it, and then it just wasn't coming up, but Arborealis. So for those that didn't see that, tell us about that one.
And that was an inflated sculptural structure that came from the UK, which you could go inside. It was 3 stories tall. It was enormous, and it was completely lit by the sun. There was no power inside it other than the blowers that kind of kept it inflated. But it was a kind of full body experience. We had yoga in there and sound baths. The symphony came and played in there. I had this idea of this kind of full experience where you get submersed in color and light and art. Mm-hmm. So there were some opera singers that came through just to really kind of bring this whole space to life. And it was fabulous. I loved it. It was just a giant, colorful explosion of wonderfulness. It was just fabulous.
The artist within you just continues in each of these things, doesn't it?
I just, to have the support of the city to be able to go, I have this really crazy idea. And to have the support of the city to help us say, absolutely, let's see what we can do to make this work, is also incredibly just humbling, really, just to be able to have that experience with those people. And everyone in Grand Rapids wants to create this amazing event. So it kind of makes my job a little easier, really, when everybody wants to see something so fabulous.
And I want to thank you so much, Teresa, for taking time and joining us today to share your story with us for this special Women's History Month edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. And certainly we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. I'm Jennifer Moss, and this is Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Powerful Women Let's Talk is a production of WGVU Public Media. Episodes available at WGVUnews.org and on Apple and Spotify. Please like and subscribe.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, April 21, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Buerling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.